Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, the 4th of April. Praise God we are here. We're going to be going into James chapter 2 in just a moment. I want to tell you, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, that's a way to get a hold of me. And also, if you want to get a any information on how to give into this ministry, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. I have PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. I'm going to school next year and really would like and would ask that you guys or some folks would go ahead and sow into that journey in my life, the next 30, 40 years of my life. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. Before we get into James chapter 2, there's a couple things the Lord brought up yesterday. And he also brought something up today, but I'm still working on that. I want to thank you for joining me. I never take it for granted, okay? I never take this thing for granted. And I know that the presence of God can infiltrate our homes. I want to talk about a couple of things. One of them is this eagle. And usually eagles live a very long, they can live a very, very, very long time. Usually in the 40 or 50th year of their life, they go into a secluded place. They go there to be. Their beak gets brittle, their talons get worn, their feathers die off, and they're not as strong as they were before. Not necessarily as strong, but they're just not able to do what they did before. So what they do is they go up for I think a season of like 4 or 5 months, and just go up and hide until, this is what they do. They bang their head against the rock, their beak against the rock, and crack it off. And when the beak grows back, they go after their talons and they clip them off, and then they end up getting into, they get their new talons, and then they pick off their feathers. And they grow new feathers, and they can live another 30 or 40 years. So you're talking a bird that goes about 80 to 90 years, and it's powerful. I think that's called, if I'm not mistaken, that's called the molting of the eagles. And what they do is they just go away to be rejuvenated, to be renewed. And that's what I'm going to school for. I'm not saying that there's stuff going on, and I just need to be renewed, and I want to be renewed. I want to go deeper. I want to go further. I want to be, for the next 40 or 50 years of my life, I want to be able to get higher with the Lord. I want to be able to disciple people with authority, not just with authority, but with the anointing of God. And so I'm asking you to invest in that. As an eagle, the Lord has used me in the prophetic, and I really feel like this is that season for me. So if you want to invest into my schooling, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, I'll get you the links you can give into. I'm looking for either 1,000 people to give $5.50, or 100 people to give $55, or any mixture of that, or 55 people to give $100, something like that. And then, I want to be able to do this before September. I want to have it there actually before the end of August, so that I can just give the money and not have to worry about that, but just really get into what I'm supposed to be doing for this next year. My desire is to bring teams to Alaska. I want to take teams to Latvia and other missionary places that I want to go to. I remember in 2020, I was supposed to go to France, Paris, French Riviera, and Northern Italy, and then I was going to go down to Israel, Iraq, and then I was supposed to be smuggled into Iran, and preach there for a couple of days, and then get smuggled back out, head up to Wales. A couple of the visions that I have and been commissioned to do was, one of them was to go to Los Angeles to the Azusa Street area and pray there. Go to Wales to Moriah Chapel and pray there. Those are some places and some things that are on my list of things that the Lord has commissioned me to do. And it's not just for a visit, but it's to be imparted to, and it's to be, for me, it's to be a time of filling and a time of impartation. And obviously, while I'm there, I'm going to be giving out to the people of the towns. So I wanted to share that with you. Now, something the Lord has shown me over the last few days, and I'm going to share it here. And, you know, it's, again, I'm talking from the Bible. And I'm sharing this from the Bible. And I have a discussion with Spotify right now. But the deal is, Jesus, when he was brought before Pilate, and then he was scourged, he took his robe off of him and hit him with the whip 39 times. And in the Bible, it says no more than 40 times is somebody to do it. But so they only do it 39 times in case they lose count. Jesus was hit 39 times. And the flesh was torn off his back. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. The payment for our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. And then so they took the robe off him, and they whipped him, and then they put the robe back on him. And what that robe, the material did, was to adhere to the wound, and so it acted as a bandage, and the blood and the blood of Jesus and the cells started to adhere to this robe as he was going through his continual trial, and then what they did was they tore the robe off of him. And that reopened the wound. And that's what I want to talk about shortly, for a short time here as I'm developing it. But before we go into James 2, but here's this wound, and it's reopened. And a lot of times, and I hear a lot of people say, when this happened, it reopened a wound in my heart. The Bible talks about being a fellowshipper, or that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that is one of them. And Jesus paid for the reopening of the wounds that we have, the traumatic reopening, whether that is a car accident, an abusive situation, or anything. God already took that into account, and he paid for it at the cross. He paid for it at the scourging. But Jesus rose from the dead 3 days. I remember S.M. Lockridge. He preached a sermon called "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." Powerful, powerful message. And he, in this message, he said it was Friday. The disciples were sleeping. Jesus was praying. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. It was Friday. You were left in despair. You were left hurting. You were left alone. That was Friday, but Sunday's coming. We talked about being left as orphans yesterday. We talked about being left as orphans. Well, that was Friday. Sunday's coming. The resurrection is coming. And there are people that have tried to stretch out, tried to have things and do things in the spirit, dreams that they've had that they've tried to, that they've given up on because it was just too hard. And God is resurrecting those things. the things that we have purpose for, God is resurrecting them. And I wanted to tell you that today, that God is a healer of the reopened wounds as well. So just receive his healing today. Receive his anointing today. Amen. All right, let's go to James chapter 2. And again, before we go there, I want to tell you that, you can go tomandsarah@outlook.com. You can buy both of my books from me, or you can get them on Amazon, SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. And then also you can get From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health, and there's resources in there for soul healing. The royal law of love excludes prejudice. It excludes prejudice. I want to read this because it's really, really important. My dear brothers and sisters, now remember, James is the brother of Jesus. And it wasn't until after his death and resurrection that he actually started to believe. Now, can you imagine growing up with Jesus, the Son of God, and not believing in him? I'm sure he was one of the ones that that said, "Hey, Jesus, don't you want to be famous? Go to Jerusalem now." He was one of those that ridiculed him. Who, you know, where Jesus turns around and says, "Well, who are my brothers and sisters and mother, except the ones who do my will?" You know, Jesus, I always imagined him always having a clean room. I've had some other things that were pretty funny, but he was always obeying his parents, you know, and he never did anything. He never told you to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. So honoring your mother and father, going to Hebrew school, learning the Shema, learning all of the feasts, you know, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Lights. So here we are in chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, fellow believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Jesus, the Holy Spirit, probably brought back to James or Jacob, brought back to him the memory of all the things that Jesus had done when he was growing up. Remember, Jesus grew up in favor with both God and man. It says that about Samuel as well in 1 Samuel, the early chapters. He says that Samuel grew in the favor of both God and man. My dear brothers and sisters, fellow believers in our Lord, in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title. Lord is a title. Jesus, it was his first name and a title, and Christ is a title. It means anointed one. How could we say that we have faith in him and yet favor one group of people over another? How can you say that you have faith in God, but yet you favor somebody above somebody else? A group of people, not just race, but creed, religious denomination. Wealth status, celebrity status. Now we have a lot of celebrities that come to Bethel, and we try to allow them to have their space, so that they come here for refreshment. They come here for an impartation, and we allow them to just have their space, you know. How can we say that we have faith in God and yet we favor one group of people above another? That's why the Jim Crow years and the segregation years in the U.S. really, really was a paradox for me to learn, especially as a believer. Now, suppose an influential man comes into your worship meeting wearing gold rings and expensive clothes, and also a homeless man in shabby clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the rich man in expensive clothes and say, here's a seat of honor, you sit up right up front, but you say to the poor beggar dressed in rags, you can sit over here or sit over there on the floor in the back, then you've demonstrated gross prejudice among yourselves and used evil standards of judgment. There's no, it's not a mistake, I think, that demonstrate starts with the word demon. Demonstration of this gross prejudice. We're not to favor anybody above somebody else. You remember the story in Luke about the publican and the Pharisee? The Pharisee came in, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this other guy. And the publican says, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't deserve to even be here. Don't honor somebody because of who they are or their status. Understand that there are people who need honor. And we do honor those. We honor them, but we don't have a prejudice for them. Or a prejudice toward them or the homeless man. So listen carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in the world's eyes to be those who are rich in faith? And won't they be the heirs of the kingdom realm he promised to those who love him? But yet you insult and shun the poor in your efforts to impress the rich. Isn't it the wealthy who exploit you and drag you into court? Aren't they the very ones who blaspheme the beautiful name of the one you now belong to? Another way to translate that is that the worthy name which is invoked over you, usually through baptism. Now, I've had many rich friends, and I've also had many poor friends, and I've treated them with the same honor. I didn't treat the lowly one less honorable. Everybody is created in the image of God. The Bible says that. Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. And everybody is knit together in their mother's womb. How they turned out necessarily isn't God's fault, good and bad. But you know, I've never had a poor person try to drag me into court. I've never had a poor person blaspheme that name of Jesus in front of me. Now, it's different than just cussing. I've had them cuss. In verse 8, he says, your calling is to fulfill the royal law of love. Remember, you are kings and priests unto the Lord. So therefore, it's a royal law of love. He is the king, and he made this a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And remember, we are heirs with Jesus. He made us heirs, Paul says in Galatians. We are heirs with Christ. And in Ephesians, he says that we are his inheritance. So we live under this royal law to agape, seek somebody's highest good with little or no desire to have anything returned to us. In other words, the purpose of the purpose of your love is not to receive. The purpose of your love is to give. Now, of course, you're going to be able to receive as well. You must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. That's Leviticus 19:18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul reiterated that. Love your neighbor. The two laws that God, the two commandments that encompass the entire law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor in the manner that you love yourself. For keeping this law is the noble way to live. Remember, we are nobility, we are royalty. But when you show prejudice, you commit sin and you violate this law of love. You know, in this, in our society now, we're trying to get equality. We're trying to get equality into our society, and we should be considered the same. But they're doing it all wrong. The law of love tells us to love our neighbor in the manner that we love ourselves. The law of love tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And everything comes out of that. We have to be aware of the plight of the oppressed, of the abused. And then James says, for the one who attempts to keep all of the law of Moses but fails in just one point has become guilty of breaking the law in every respect. For the same one, God, who tells us, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you don't commit adultery, but you murder, you are still guilty as a lawbreaker. If you don't covet, but yet you don't honor your mother and father, you are still a breaker of the law. Thank God for his blood, that we can come for forgiveness. And we're not under that law anymore. So we must both speak and act in every respect like those who are destined to be tried by a perfect law of liberty. And remember that judgment is merciless for the one who judges others without mercy. So by showing mercy, you take dominion over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Remember, mercy is getting what you mercy is getting what you don't deserve, or not getting what you do deserve. Yeah, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. That's the mercy of God. I remember a parable that Jesus spoke. He said the guy owed the king like so much money, it's just like too much money for even him in his lifetime to be able to get. And so he says, have mercy on me. And the king had mercy on him. But then he went up to his fellow person, and he said, you owe me less than a day's wages. Pay it now or you're going to jail. The king got a hold of that. And then he said, I showed you mercy. Shouldn't you have done the same? To him much is given, to him much is required. If God gave it to you, give it. That's why I can forgive, because God has forgiven me of so many things. So if you show mercy, you triumph over judgment. Show no prejudice and show tons of mercy. show no prejudice, make that a precedent in your life. Show no precedent or prejudice, and show tons of mercy. I remember a long time ago, somebody said to me that he just looked at me and he said, "Say you're sorry." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Say you're sorry." And I said, "What for?" And he said, "Say you're sorry." And I said, "I did nothing wrong. I'm not going to say I'm sorry." He says, "Then you're not ready to get married." Until you can say you're sorry for not doing something, you're not for doing something you have no idea what you did, you can't get married. You shouldn't get married. Another guy, he said that his father came up to him on his wedding day and he said, "Just remember, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?" It's not a question about being right. Remember, God sees everything and he sees what happened. He already knows what happened. And that's why we ought to be quick to forgive and show mercy instead of judgment. So, understand this. The first part here, the first 13 verses of James 2, talks about showing no prejudice and showing tons of mercy. And how do you do that? Is by obeying the law of love. Amen. Well, that's all we're going to talk about today. We'll pick up on 14 tomorrow, but understand the grace of God for you. Go to TomandSarah@outlook.com, and anybody who donates into the ministry, not only will I give them one of these witnessing bands that just says "Seek God's Kingdom," you can get these. Actually, they're a dollar each. Just, you know, "Hey Tom, I want this many," and I'll send them to you. If you buy the books from me, it's $20, which is including shipping and handling. If you get them from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Walmart, you could do that as well. So just TomandSarah@outlook.com. Request them, and then we'll get them out to you. All right? So God bless you today. Today is going to be a great day. Never forget that. And I hope you're enjoying these videos and podcasts. I enjoy making them. And I just wanted you to know that it's a joy for me. It's not a hardship for me to make these. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.